Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to whatever numbered episode we're on for Moon Mondays. And yeah. I just wanted to let everybody know we are getting ready to broadcast live also in our colleagues' Facebook group, Real Talk Astrology. So if you aren't familiar with that group, definitely check it out and request an ad. It's a lot of pertinent information shared there. Just good old astrology talk. And we're going to go live from that group. The intro song is from Jill Scott's first album, Slowly Surely. And I thought that was an awesome song for tonight's topic. If you just listen to the lyrics, the melody of the song, she obviously had been in a karmic relationship, which is the subject matter for tonight. I guess we could start how we always start. How is everybody? How is cosmic weather treating everyone?
Oh, pretty cool.
How was Pisces season for everybody? The Pisces stellium in the sky.
It's bittersweet. Even though I'm used to Pisces energy, I have my moments where I get a little foggy, and I blame it on Pisces season. We got so much Pisces energy. I think even for me, having three planets in Pisces, that what we have going on right now is still a bit too much for me. So I don't know how everybody else feels about that.
Well, I absolutely positively loved every minute of it. I felt like I was swimming. I felt like I was a mermaid backstroking through life, like just an endless ocean. And I was just, oh, my God, it just felt so amazing. Like, hey, go in your room now. It felt so amazing, that Pisces stellium in the sky. And when Venus and Mercury went into Aries, I felt like I was shaken awake by a drill sergeant. That's exactly how I felt, like somebody was snapping their fingers in my face saying, snap out of that shit. Like, that's how I felt. So I really enjoyed Pisces season. And, again, kudos to you, Rubina, for doing an excellent episode on Pisces. This past weekend, you absolutely slayed that shit.
Thank you.
All my life, I had no idea.
Indeed.
All my life, I had no idea that leaving shit out of the refrigerator was my Pisces. I had no idea. So to this day. To this day, like, because you guys know my Saturn square is my moon, so my mother taught me to, like, clean as I go or put shit away as I go because she obviously noticed that about me very young. So a really quick story about the Thanksgiving that I ruined Thanksgiving dinner. My mother told me to go downstairs and get the turkey out the stove. She was like, you going to be up for a while? I was like, yeah, Mom, I'm going to be up for a while. And she said, all right, take the turkey out the stove. It's done. Leave it out for 30 minutes and then sit it in the refrigerator. Y'all know I ain't sit that shit in the refrigerator, right? I left it out the stove, but I did not sit that shit in the refrigerator. Girl, my mom woke up that morning and her turkey had spoiled. She was hot with me. She called me all types of bitches and hoes for fucking up her Thanksgiving dinner and all the guests she has on the way, and I done just fucked it all up. I never forget that day. So,
wow.
All these years, never would have thought that was my Pisces that did that.
Oh yeah, that's Pisces.
Very interesting.
For real.
But
yeah.
You know what?
Wow.
I don't have that's not my issue. Now I get after the other people in my house for leaving shit out or just not putting stuff back. But I think that's my sixth house Saturn. Because I'm a stickler about where the hell you get that from. Put it back. Like, finish the task.
A sixth house Saturn will definitely make sure shit is in its proper place at all times.
Yeah. Nerves get all bad. And if I feel like you left it out too long and then try to pull an okey-doke and put that in the refrigerator, I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to throw it out.
There is some Virgo shit all day.
Yep, I was like,
don't
no,
let something
trying,
sit out on that counter too long.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Don't
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I hate about Virgo. Some shit will be sitting on a counter for 2 hours, and they be like, oh, no, that's I don't trust it. That's bad.
Yes. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Can't do that. You'll get sick quick. I'm trying to get on here so I can, I'm on Blog Talk, so I can look at the chat. We can tell people to get in on this.
And you know what prompted, okay, this is another thing. This is cosmic weather in Pisces season. So, Celeste, what did I tell you about telling me to hurry up and all of that? Here. I'm sorry. Of course, my Leo child is telling me to hurry up. But anyway, Ravina's show also prompted me to do a background check, just, you know, the guy I've been talking to. So I just went through, I was like, okay, let me just go and look and be nosy, you know. I was like, he's a double Sag, so he might have a drug charge or drug paraphernalia or some shit like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, Sad shit, you know, every Sag nigga I know has a DUI. So, when I met my Sag ex-husband, his license was suspended for like 18 years. And we had to pay hella lawyer fees just to get his shit fixed. But anyway, it's usually a bunch of traffic violations. So anyway, I go into the case search and I'm looking and being nosy. And I'm like, so wow. 2005, 2006, 2007 were like really a lot of charges. Like he had a petty theft charge for $500 or less. I was like, damn, I wonder what the fuck he steal. He also had a charge for riding the baby in the car with no car seat. He had a charge for having the wrong license plate on a car that didn't match. So it said, like, he had tags on a car for, like, a Chevy and it was a Cadillac or some shit like that. You know, when your registration run out or your tags is expired or some shit and you put a dead tag on, he did that. So moving forward, I was like, okay, so he hasn't done nothing major in the last 10 years besides, like, he's been sued by a lot of people. And these are, like, big dollar amounts, like a bank sued him for like $30,000 in another place. But anyway, he just got a DUI August of this year. He just got a DUI. So, and the last time I seen him, we was at his house and he was like, let's go do such and such. And I was like, okay, cool. You feel like driving? He was like, no, I don't feel like driving. You're going to have to drive. And I was like, okay, what the fuck? Why is he acting like that? And I've rode in his car before he's drove. But he's like, no, you have to drive. He was like, what, do you not have gas or something? I was like, no, gas is in my car. Oh, well, I was just going to say I'll put gas in your car, but I don't feel like driving. It was just really weird how he carried me. But I just, my Pisces self just looked over it like, oh, okay, maybe he just don't feel like driving. I was like, okay, cool, I'll drive. But, and his court date was just February 28th. So, and he texted me one day at late at night, and he was, and I was like, you know, hey, how's your day been? And he was like, pretty good. You know, I had court today, so I'm glad that's over. So from the looks of the case search, he's taking it to trial. He's taking it to trial, and his trial date is set for, like, August of this year. Because, you know, it takes
long
time.
Man, you got all the tapes on him.
Yeah, I know. It takes you them a while to convict you with a DUI, right? I think so.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I went through all his business today, and I was like, that's a good idea. Let me go put his name in, see what the fuck he doing. You know, usually it'd be some child support cases or something, but he didn't have any of those. Yeah, it was just really interesting. So,
wow.
Yeah, and he's Venus conjunct Mars in Pisces. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for you guys.
All that drinking. Damn.
Drinking.
Yeah,
he does get very high.
You said very high. Not
wow.
just high, but very high.
Well, he has a medical marijuana. He has a medical marijuana card for the state of Maryland. So, veteran, y'all know I attract soldiers, Lord knows.
Yeah.
So, he's a Sag rising and a Sag moon, Aquarius sun.
Oh.
And I said he's a double Sag, so everything I said, like he gambles, he has a problem with drugs and alcohol because he gets extremely high and he drinks. But he has some sixth house shit, so when I go to his house, everything is very clean and very orderly, very particular about where things are placed. But his home is very comfortable. He lives by himself from what I see. Like, I don't see any presence of a female or anything like that there. But he definitely has some depression problems and stuff just from intuitively what I pick up on. So, yeah, interesting stuff. So that's all my cosmic weather. Y'all go ahead. Well, Rabina, you're a Sag. How was Pisces season for you? I noticed Sag and Geminis were kind of not feeling Pisces season.
Yeah, it was good, like, for business, but just, like, my emotional state, like I was saying in the, my Ace of Cups show, I was like, I was feeling a little extra vulnerable. And I swear I put on like 10 pounds in like three weeks because I was like, because I work overnight a lot. Like, I'll be working on charts and stuff. And I've gotten into the habit of like taking a little trip to Jack in the Box and getting some like tacos and stuff like that. And I swear, I've seen the difference. I'm like, oh, hell no, I got to stop with the midnight snacks. So that's been some insight I've noticed. And I'm like, yeah, because that Pisces stellium was in my second house. So you could just imagine. I was just like, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that I just love. And I was just throwing back the root beer. Thank God I don't really like alcohol because I would have been done for. I would have just been hitting the bottle up. But yeah. But that was the biggest thing. And then, like I was saying as well, I just got some insight regarding a friend that I have. And basically, I'm just at this point, it's like I got to stop, you know, making excuses and just be, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, sometimes you just got to let friends go if they're not on your level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Male friend or female friend?
You already know who I'm talking about.
Oh my God!
It's like,
Lord,
you know, you try,
mercy.
Like, but it's so true. Like, most males and females, they can't be friends. And I just, you know, I just came to terms with that one. I'm just like, yeah, I can't. I just can't. Maybe see you in passing. Hey, how you doing? What's up? Yeah, that's about it.
I guess I'll see you next lifetime.
You know what I'm saying? And I hate to say it, but you know what? Being outside my race is starting to look more and more attractive. I'll just say that. So I've had that little awakening as well. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead now.
Yeah, honey.
But
do
I've always been open to dating outside of my race, but I've always been, you know, partial to black men. I've always, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, but at this point, I'm like, I'm tired of the nonsense, and it's too many of black men that are just
mm-hmm.
about that nonsense. And because I got that sun conjunct Neptune, I'm going to end up always getting those ones that got those issues. I mean,
mm-hmm.
even if I get a guy that has a great job and all that stuff, more than likely he's going to be a cheater or alcoholic
or
something.
He's still a drug addict,
stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, and I even know with the other mm-hmm. races I'm going to be, you know, dealing with some shit, but at least I can, like, reduce my odds, I feel like.
Yeah. I say that all the time, too. Like, I don't even care. I've told you guys before, I don't care if my man is so fucking boring that he, like, collects stamps or builds fucking model airplanes in the back room. As long as he is laying the pipe properly and he's, like-minded some areas with me, we will be good money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd
mm-hmm.
rather, like, me being a Pisces moon, but how Saturn affects my moon, my moods are very stable. 90% of the time, you are going to encounter the same Apollonia. So I can't deal with somebody that's like an emotional roller coaster constantly. So I find that
mm-hmm.
to be very rude if you live with me and your moods are everywhere. So I just rather a dude that's real boring like me. And really, on a emotional level, the most peaceful person I've dealt with in a relationship was a double Taurus. His moods were stable like mine. Some people would say we were boring together, but I'm like, shit, we were stable. He was never moody. You know, the most he would get mad at me for is, like, if I answer his phone call and he called me 2-3 times. Like, Tauruses do like to keep tabs on their mate. But other than that, he wasn't moody. So I need to find that again. Like, you know. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So how much more time we got?
Do, that's too much peace with that Taurus. Double Taurus. Too much. You said it's too much peace. Yeah, for a sad.
Rabina's a sad.
Oh.
She needs some excitement.
And that's my problem. I go for those guys that are going to bring that excitement, but the wrong kind.
Yeah, she wants a dude that's going to fucking throw a glass up against the wall every so often. And
yeah. Nah, scratch that.
Yeah, see, I'm like,
mm-hmm. Be like, let me know you're alive. Do something. Break something.
Well, hey, I don't know. It's a toss up between, you know, the highlight of my life. Yes. Okay, bring me your stuff. The highlight of my life used to be when my Sag ex-husband would go to the head of the road and dump all of his beer bottles into the trash can that the garbage men had to come and collect. So our mailbox used to be at the head of the road. So one day I'm standing there getting the mail, and I'm hearing these loud-ass clanks, and I look up the street, and it's him dumping all of his 40 bottles into the trash can. And I'm like,
oh, my God.
I said, that's a drunk bitch right there.
Mm-hmm. 40 bottles? Good gracious.
He was, girl, he was a Philly nigga to the core. Of course he drink 40s.
Oh,
so,
of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's dealing with a Sag man. So if you deal with a Sag guy, those are the type of things you got to get used to. You got to get used to him possibly snorting a line of coke from time to time. You have to get used to random shit like that. And it's just,
you know what?
They do fiend ass shit.
Great.
That's what Sages do.
No, that is so true, and all the alcohol and stuff too. Like, I've dated a Sag stellium, and I've dated two men who have the ruler of the ninth house in their first house, and so they act very Sagittarian. And yeah, all the beer, but like, I you know, and if I live, I usually live with them. And if I live with them, I'm like, you're making me feel like I'm working at a bar again. All these damn beer bottles I got to collect. Like, where's my tips? Shit.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It's the truth.
No,
it
I
is
don't
the
have
truth.
None of that.
You haven't been, have you ever dated a Sag, Tony?
No, not to that degree. I mean, I kind of played with one when I had an open marriage, but not. I didn't have any experiences like that.
Right.
Now my husband would say something like that about me because I'm the first one to break up everything in the house. I will admit that. I'm serious. I'd be the first. He's like, yeah.
Well, you're a second house Pisces son, right, Tony?
Pisces son.
You're a second house Pisces son?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so of course alcohol would be your thing.
I have a mini bar. Yes, I keep something. I got to have something. Yeah. I mean, we have a shot or two almost every day. Almost every day.
A shot of what?
A shot of rum. Like today, I had a couple of shots of Crown Apple. It's for me, it's nothing. It just runs through me so quick. So while everybody else is looking dizzy, I'm like, I'm good. I'm straight. It's like I can feel it for a second, and it kind of just goes away. So,
right.
Yeah. But yeah, rum.
I heard that Crown
Apple
is good.
It is. Let me tell you. Get you some
I'll try some. Because it's smooth, right? Because I don't like strong liquor.
Yes. It's smooth, but I prefer shots. If you're gonna put ice and all that in there, sometimes I don't do that. Just give me a shot or something and I'm good. But yeah. If you don't like it strong, mix it with a splash of ginger ale and you should be okay.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It is, it's good. Beers, I like beers. I like the dark beers. I like the stout, especially the milk stout. So,
wow,
yeah,
look
like
at
I
you.
Said, maybe I can be bad with that. Meaning, like, I like it. You know, I don't have a problem with taking a couple shots or going to a beer festival or something like that. I'm cool. I have people bring bottles to my house. That's how bad it is. Like, if you come and bring bottles to me, we're straight. I know that's bad, but it is what it is. Yep.
I like Pisces that can own it, though. You know, you got some Pisces, they're hefty drinkers, but they'll try to deny it. And they'll be like, oh, I don't drink a lot. But, yeah, I like it. Own it.
Shit, that's them Virgos who try to act like they don't drink shit. Be the drunkest one.
Right. They be the ones who really can't handle it. I've got a Virgo cousin who's like, she gets totally slammed. She just doesn't have the stomach for it. And like I said, most of the people around me can't really consume as much. And I think it's just the Pisces energy. I can take it, and I really don't have a problem. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you must be the only Pisces that I know that is a lightweight and hates alcohol. I don't drink at all. I don't.
That
like
is
it.
True, April,
it,
and
it
I've said that to
nasty.
You before. Like, girl, you don't drink anything.
No. It doesn't make me feel good at all. It gives me a stomach ache, a headache. I don't like the idea of being out of control, like not being fully in control of myself to where somebody could take advantage of me. Plus, not only that, bad experiences with alcoholics my whole entire life just made me shy away from it to where I'm like, nah, it's not for me. No thanks.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll be over here.
That will.
April.
And depending on what you're drinking, too. You got to know what you like. You got to know what your body can tolerate. Some people can do white and, you know, can't do brown, and some people can do brown. I can kind of do both, but, you know, you don't mix them in one session. And you got to know how to eat, and I'm telling all my business, but you just got to know how to do it. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. And you don't drink.
Yeah.
to just get wasted or slam. But I'm going to tell you, tequila, that's not my thing. Me and tequila do not get along. So I see clear that. I can take, you know, other stuff. But, yeah, tequila's not my thing.
Now, April, what you said about your Pisces moon and you're not a drinker, my mom, she's similar to that because she has Mars conjunct Venus, real close conjunction, in Pisces in the 12th house. So you would think, okay, she might be a lush or whatever, but no, she stays away from alcohol, and it goes back to her father because he was an alcoholic and he would get drunk and beat my grandmother and all that stuff. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, if you see enough drunk people in your youth, you're just like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't matter what you got in Pisces.
Yeah.
That is true.
And Rabina,
also,
your mom,
like,
probably had a drink too, and it did something to her where she never touched it again, because your 12th house, if you don't have an anchor of some sort there, you can really get, like,
mm-hmm.
caught down the rabbit hole, like Alice in Wonderland effect is what I call it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I have Pluto there, so I'm always afraid of, like, hidden people coming out of the shadows to take advantage of me, like,
oh, yeah.
you know, if I'm
oh, yeah.
under the influence. So I don't touch weed, drugs, alcohol. I take ibuprofen once a month as needed, and that's it. So I'm like, man, I don't really fit that whole Pisces thing with that, but it doesn't mean I don't have any other escapism things I like, you know, that maybe are not so great, but just the typical stuff, nah. I don't me no like.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can jump into our topic, since we've given, of course, whenever we do this, right, it's like we always end up talking and stuff because we miss each other, and we haven't talked in a while, but thanks to all the people out there listening, because we were just, you know, talking about our cosmic weather. But anyway, karmic unions or karmic relationships is what we're talking about tonight. We do have an agenda that we're kind of going to stick to. We only have maybe another half hour of the show, so we'll most likely end up doing a part two. So I guess if you guys want to start with going around and giving people tidbits on what you deem to be a karmic union or placement, I don't know. We probably won't be able to get into much of the experiences until the next time we do this, because I know that takes time. But I guess to keep it interactive, when you start off, let the audience know how many karmic unions you've been in, if any, and what were some of the placements, and what are some things you've seen that are karmic when you deal with synastry. So who's up first?
Let's see.
Are we going in the order?
Yeah, Tony's first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Cool beans.
Somebody's asking how to chime in. I'll tell them to raise their hand.
Yeah, I do see some callers coming in. So, and we got
10:22.
I'm going to make mine quick, and I'm going to put a disclaimer out there. I did get permission to kind of sneak upon this because the relationship that I'm in currently is definitely a karmic one. We just had this conversation a couple of days ago. One thing that I want people to remember is, you know, you can look at your synastry, but also be aware of, if you can, your first meeting chart, the day you guys got engaged, followed by the day you guys actually tied the knot. For me, and I would just tell you, the vertex is like a faded point in people's chart, and I know some astrologers use it, some of us don't. And I'm one who definitely uses it. And I think my husband and I have been together now 19 years. And we have been married, this year will be 12, and my vertex is in the seventh house in Leo at 24 degrees. And I've always been one, since Saturn is my chart ruler, I always pay attention to those transits, because I know that's going to be, it's going to play out heavy in my life. And the day we got married, Saturn was in the sign of Leo at 24 degrees. Definitely karmic, and it was in opposition to Neptune. Again, speaking of a karmic debt, or your, you know, your debt to God, the creator, who, whatever you want to call it. And it's very hard. When Saturn is involved, it's so hard to let go. Saturn acts like glue. You're going to pay that debt, and he's going to make sure that you do what you need to do. Some astrologers just don't use the vertex. They use the anti-vertex, which is actually the opposite. So if I have vertex in Leo at 24 degrees, that would mean my anti-vertex is in Aquarius at 24 degrees. So that's another trigger. You can go on astro.com. You can pull up your chart. I know the vertex is something that you can click on, and you'll see that visible in your chart. You won't necessarily see the anti-vertex, but pay attention to those when you meet people who make such a profound presence in your life. Usually that is triggered. I'm trying to figure out what else I could say about that really quick. That's about it. The other thing I can say really quickly, though, it just popped in my head. We got married the spur of the moment. He decided, like, on a Tuesday. On that Saturday, we were actually getting married. And I noticed that Uranus, the ruler of my first house moon, and Venus in Aquarius, was also in the first house of my marriage chart. So you can see that, I mean, I was just kind of tied all up in that. You could see the spontaneity, and that's nothing you need to pay attention to. And that should be a red flag for you to go, you know, to go check and see what transits you're under, because you could be under something where you're paying that debt, or you're learning some lessons. I don't even know how you call it, because this is, we've had so many ups and downs. This has been one hell of an experience, and I understand so much that it's karmic, and I'm trying to be as patient, both of us are as patient as we can be, until our debts are paid, and we're very much aware of that. So I don't know if anybody else wants to go ahead. I try to make mine as quick as possible. So whoever next, you can go for it.
Kathy, I'm next. I like that you mentioned the vertex, because that's something that I always tend to overlook. So I always say I'm going to start paying attention to it more. I do recall last year when I did pay attention to it, I had this video natal chart reading. It was actually, that was when I first, you know, started offering that service. And the first person that purchased it was this young male. And I ain't even gonna lie, he was kind of cute, but like he's young enough to be my son. Anyway, he was flirting with me rather heavily, and I believe the sun was on my vertex that day. It was either the sun or Mercury or one something, and I was like, oh wow, there it is. So I feel like it can even point to casual situations, like casual flirting.
Yes.
When a planet lands on your vertex, even. And it was, so it's like me and him, we still, you know, converse every now and then. He might message me on Facebook or whatever like that. And I do actually really care. Well, I care about all my clients' well-being. But him in particular, his story did touch my heart. So I guess, you know, and my vertex is in Leo like yours. So I guess that's it. You know, even if it's casual or even a business relationship, it could still be very meaningful and faded, I guess. Yes. Yeah, so about my situation, I know I've been in one past life relationship for sure. The other ones are questionable, but my most recent relationship, I feel like that was definitely a past life. But the one that I'm talking about in particular is with my son's father. And the way you could tell what that is, I went through some serious challenges with him, especially we were in a custody battle. I told you guys about this before. But he's a Taurus, and my south node is in Taurus. And his sun is, I think it's about 4 degrees away from my south node. It's not closer. So that definitely played out. he's part of my karmic debt. It's so bad that, like, even if you're not in a relationship anymore with the person that you're in a karmic relationship with, things can still happen where you have to face some type of challenges. So, for instance, he brought my son for a visit over the summer, last summer, and I parked my, like, he was staying in one of those, what do you call it, like Airbnb. It was like a house, but some people were renting it out. So anyway, they had these designated parking spaces for guests. So one was like real narrow and stuff. So me and my dumb self, I tried to park in that spot, ended up scratching my car. Like, I haven't scratched my car until that day. And I'm like, that's that South Node. Because if I would have never scratched my car if I, you know, he wasn't there and all this stuff. So I'm like, and then think about it, you know, Taurus's money, scratching my car, like, to get it fixed, so that's going to cost money. I'm like, damn, I can't get away from this mess. And still to this day, like, he's the only man that I'm still a little bit intimidated by, I have to admit. But not really anymore. Not even when we're face-to-face. It's always, like, if I have to ask him something, if we have to make a joint decision about our son, stuff like that. Because you know how Taurus can be, like, so obstinate and stubborn, and they don't move when, you know, you want them to move, and it's just ridiculous. So that has been hands down my hardest challenge. And then think about how Taurus deals with possession and how we got into this very nasty custody battle. So when it comes to Taurus and their children, that's one thing. Like, they could, and the thing is, they can act like they could take or leave their children when the children are, like, always with them. But the minute you say something like, okay, I'm moving out of state, or that's when it's like, oh, no. And then the whole possessive thing comes in. But like how he was, when I was living in Philly, he lived like 10 minutes away from me, but like he would take like 4 weeks at a time not seeing his son. So when I decided to move to across the country, I was like, okay, well, he barely sees his son anyway. He lives 10 minutes away. I guess it's not going to matter much. And if he needs to see his son, he could come to Arizona, or I could come there, whatever. But no, once he found out I was leaving, oh no. It was terrible. But, yeah, that's just a lesson. So if anybody has South Node in any sign and they meet somebody and they're of that sign, the sun could even be, like, 20 degrees away from your South Node. That can still be a karmic relationship, and it can be very painful. So the good thing is, if you know the person's chart up front, you may want to even just avoid having to learn that hard lesson, because you do have a choice. You don't have a choice if you don't know the person's chart and stuff like that. Because back then, you know, I wasn't that deep into astrology where I was pulling dudes' charts and stuff. Because this was, what, back in, I met him back in 2000. So, you know, I didn't have software and stuff like that. And I was just, you know, taking leaps of faith with men and stuff like that. And I was mainly concerned, oh, he a Taurus. I know Taurus and Sag don't really work out. But, you know, he got these nice qualities and stuff like that. So I, you know, rationalize it and then come to find out his son right on my South Node, and I was just like, wow. And then my most recent ex, his Saturn is conjoined to my South Node. So it's like kind of some of the same thing, So these whole South Node relationships are terrible. And again, Taurus, money. So what actually caused me to really step away from my ex in terms of friendship was because the other day he was asking me for money, and I'm like, oh, no. Not with the history we have. I just couldn't believe it.
My knees are breaking. Hold on. Oh,
no, and then you're gonna get and then you're gonna get an attitude because I say no. No, I didn't even say no.
Oh,
I said, why don't you ask the chick that you're screwing for money? That's what I said. And then you're gonna get an attitude just because I'm real.
You know, men asking me for money, that just makes my cappy coochie dry. I can't. Ooh, my God. I break into hives. What?
Right.
No.
Yeah. So then,
I'm
you know,
glad you
I'm
stood
like, this
your
is,
ground, Rabina.
Right?
I'm so glad you
and
stood
I'm
your
like,
ground.
And I'm like, this is a self-no-Taurus relationship. And I had to start questioning, like, oh, okay, is he being nice for me, like, as insurance? Like, just so if in the event he needs to borrow some money or something, I'll be like, oh, yeah.
He thought that he still had that power over you. He thought he still had that power over you.
And then I even told him, like, because I didn't make it personal. And I said, you know, I'm done helping men out in that way and stuff like that because every time I do it, I'm on the losing end. And he had the nerve to call me childish for saying that. I was like, what? I actually had to hang up on him.
The nerve. Yeah. And see, that makes you wonder. That makes you wonder, do people come back in your life with ulterior motives because they know you're a kind-hearted? Because I feel like, and that's probably the sun conjunct Neptune as well. It's like the sun is shining on our vulnerable part. And I feel like the same thing. Like if a guy has had me to be nice to him or do nice things for him, he becomes accustomed to that, and it can just automatically be an ulterior motive. It's kind of like pressing a button on me, and I hate that shit. Like, I absolutely hate it. Wow, I can't believe he did that. No more Taurus
men
for you.
I also wanted to say this. I also wanted to say this, too, about karmic relationships, but this is more so about past life, reincarnation, but it's all connected with karma. But a lot of times you'll know that a person is from one of your past lives if y'all have a lot of connections, like Pluto connections. So, like, if a man's on your sun sextiles his Pluto or your Pluto sextiles his Venus, because that Pluto is regeneration, and that can also be reincarnation. So it's like, okay, this relationship has been regenerated from a past life for you guys to try to work it out again.
That's, that just blew me away because the person I'm going to speak of we have, wow, that's interesting. I'm giving you virtual hugs, Rabina, because I know that's a tough one for you. And it's like a spit in the face. People are such assholes.
It is. I know.
Especially when you've been there for motherfuckers, like the nerve of you.
Yeah. But I'm done playing somebody's mama. I'm done. I'm like, I got my own kids.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's how
tests.
I feel.
Those are just tests.
Yup, it was a test. It sure was.
Yeah,
that was
definitely a test.
Mm-hmm.
And see,
and
I have Saturn conjunct my south node, so I know that I'm going to run into, and Saturn being my chart ruler, I know I'm going to run into people who I've had, you know, past life issues with, who I owe debts to, and I have it in the sign of Gemini. So it, Lord have mercy, definitely.
Wow, and,
you know, and
Tony, that Gemini stellium.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. See, man, I learned so much. And my south node, especially in Placidus, falls in the fifth house. So that just tells you, you know, a lot of my, even my casual relationships, I'm going to be running into people. So you have to know your chart too and be aware of what kind of energy that you know, that kind of gravitates towards you. It's not always about the other person. And if you study your chart, you'll know when this energy is presented to you. And, you know, like Lavina said, sometimes it's good to just walk away. Like when she just, you know, her situation she just talked about, sometimes it's good to say, I recognize that. And I'm done with that. Move on to the next one, you know. You have to be aware. And unfortunately, I wasn't aware. I didn't know nothing about astrology at the time. So when I had the opportunity to look back, I said, get out of here. Saturn at 24 degrees, I'm like, I'm done. And that means I'm stuck for a little bit. You know what I mean? And you just kind of have to understand those things about yourself, even if you don't know or understand or even believe in reincarnation and karmic debts, you just know that you're going to be bound to certain people for a specified period of time. Learn your lesson, do your best, and move on when you can move on. So that's my thought.
Now, Tony, you know what would be ironic is if that 24th year is significant for you and him. Because...
Honey...
dated, y'all have been together 19
yeah.
years, and
wow.
Vertex
mm-hmm.
is hidden treasure. X marks the spot. You
yes.
know, you can
yes.
open your treasure box, and it could be some bullshit in there, or it could be some amazing things in there.
Yeah.
So that 24 might be really significant, you know, with you guys approaching your 20th year, you know.
Honey, we talk about this because we have knockout drag outs, and we can still look at each other like, I can't even believe I'm still with you. Another person, it would have been over with and done, but there's just this thing, you know. And like I said, I understand it better using astrology. I can see how we've progressed in certain areas and how, you know, we're growing. And I can see where our issues lie. We got Saturn squares. That's the other thing. We have Saturn squares. So when you're looking at synastry, you know, with you and another person, and you see Saturn squaring your Mercury, but, I mean, we have it in both, you know, in both of our charts. My Saturn square is his Saturn square is mine. And that's just an echo with my south node conjunct Saturn and Gemini. You know, there's just so many different things. So I see that as a lesson there that I'm having to get over, a debt I'm having to pay. There's something I need to communicate. There's something that I need to teach, you know, and vice versa, and be taught. So I'm learning, and I'm trying to have a different approach to it. And I'm going to let somebody else talk because I can go on and on and on.
Whose turn is it, me or April?
I think it's you, Abby.
Oh, okay. So, and I'll go. I'll spat mine really quickly too. And like I said, if we do a part two, I'll go more in depth. So we could take a caller or two. But yeah. So you guys know my relationship with my children's father is extremely tumultuous. It didn't start out that way. Initially, it started out as very, he was like a puppy dog on me, is the best way I can explain it. And I was going through a really dark period of my life, which allowed him to latch on to me in a not so healthy way. Like, I tried to break up with him several times. I remember breaking up with him in a restaurant, telling him, like, you know, this is the last time I'm going to see you, and him, like, literally starting to sob and cry, and me feeling really bad because if a man had ever cried over me, it wasn't, like, in my face like that. So that allowed him to grasp hold of me. And I wanted to point out, and to everybody listening as well, Rabina is exactly right with the south node conjunction square. Any aspect to the south node is usually very karmic and is usually very trying. I'm a 27 degrees Pisces north node and 27 degrees Virgo south node. And his Virgo stellium conjuncts my south node. So everything I am aspiring to be in this life and to ascend to, hence my Pisces north node, he is against all of that. He thinks everything Piscean about me is bullshit, and I shouldn't be doing that. I should be doing more Virgo-esque things. So, of course, in his eyes, being a Pisces south node, he's been there, done that. He's not interested in those things anymore. He's not supposed to be. He has a Virgo north node and a Virgo stellium, a part of that north node, you know, conjunct that Virgo north node for him. So me and him are never on the same page. So if you're dealing with somebody and your nodes are opposing each other, you're never going to be on the same page. It's always going to be an issue. They're always going to look at how you're moving through life real sideways. So it's really no future for he and I because I'm ascending someplace else and he's ascending someplace else. Another issue that we have, his Mars is opposing my Pisces moon as well as my north node again. So with that opposition, he's been the only man in my life that has caused me to punch holes in the wall. I've picked up things to break them. When I'm arguing with him, I have the urge to hit him. I have the urge to be ugly, and act in ways that my mother didn't raise me to act. And I have never experienced that with any other man. If another guy pissed me off like that, it's like, okay, Apollonia, just get your shit. Go get the fuck away from him. Let that be that. But he's the only man I've ever dealt with that has the power to push me to the brink where I can end up in jail, because I get so infuriated with just his aura, who he is. Like, it just makes me want to haul off and knock the fuck out of him. And that's Moon opposite Mars. And his Mars is opposite my Moon, so he may feel the same exact way about me. Another thing is his Virgo stellium falls in my seventh house, which includes his Saturn, his Mercury, his Venus, his North Node, and his Mars. And that's just more Virgo than the law should allow for somebody like me. you guys know how I feel about the particularness of Virgo. Like, I feel like he's an overseer. So I can never date a man that has that much Virgo in him, because I feel like he's an overseer. He's always watching and waiting and attempting to boss me around and, oh, let me see what she finna do next so I could bitch about that. Like, that's literally what I feel. And when Rabina mentioned the Pluto contacts, his natal Uranus in Scorpio is exactly conjunct my Pluto. That blew me away because it's definitely that Uranus and Pluto, I would definitely say is karmic. I'm trying to think what else, without, like, totally going through everything. But, yeah, I wanted to mention to Tony also that my vertex is in Virgo. His Virgo stellium, too. And my vertex is natally in my seventh house, conjunct my south node in Virgo. So Virgo men are very attracted to me because their energy falls in my seventh house, and I attract them like moth to flames, but he would have to have a smidgen of Virgo. And it doesn't even always have to pour out as a Virgo stellium. I'm noticing now I attract men that have six-house stelliums. Like, my son has a six-house stellium. Or if the ruler of their sixth house is in the first, or if their ruler of the sixth house is conjunct their ascendant, or if it's conjunct their Mars or something like that, for it to bleed out into their day-to-day life, I notice I attract that. Now, really quick story, and I'll pass the mic. I saw a really good reader here in D.C., older white lady. She has, like, the prettiest blonde curls, and she only reads at the flea market. And she's awesome. Her lines are always fucking long in D.C. And I always ask her, the two times I've seen her, I'm like, why don't you get an online website or something? She's like, oh, honey, I don't want to deal with that internet shit. You know, like, she's one of those people. So anyway, she did a reading for me when I was pregnant with my daughter, the second pregnancy from this asshole. And she said, you know, this is a karmic relationship. And she said, you two had a past life that you owe him for. This is the first time I really started to engulf myself in karmic unions. So she begins to explain to me that I was some form of royalty, and he was a servant to me, or a watch pressure over of me. She's like, I don't know if he was your knight or something where he had to babysit you, but you would use him as a sexual object at times because he was always around and you knew he liked you. And it was, you would lead him on and play games with him and stuff like that because you had that power over him. And when she was telling me this story, all of the emotions and feelings that I had initially with him being a pet or a puppy dog, how things began in the beginning began to come up. So she tells me, you married or you moved on, and he killed himself because of how he felt about you. Now, when she said he killed himself because of me, that rang so true in my brain because ever since I've known him, he's a person that hates people that commit suicide. Like, he really goes in on people that commit suicide. Like, oh, they some stupid motherfuckers and
wow.
they're weak. I would never do that. Like, he gets enraged when people think that suicide is an option. And when she said that to me, I was like, wow, that blew me away because it made so much sense that he hates people who commit suicide in his life because he's done it before. And it just, oh my God, she blew me away. And, she said he wanted a family with you. He didn't know, you guys didn't know how it would have even worked. Like, him being a servant to you, he would have never been able to marry royalty in that particular time. So it would have never worked out. So it's like she told me, she's saying he has the family with you that he always wanted, even though you guys aren't meant to be together. Then
Damn.
Really quick, another dream I had before, this was after I had my daughter. I walked into this boutique or something, and this lady was sitting there doing readings. And I sat down and I said, I gave her my money and I was like, I want you to read me. And she just looked at me. She was smiling and then she looked at me with disgust on her face. And she said, you need to stay away from him. And I said, who? Who are you talking about? And she wrote something down on the paper and she handed it to me. And it was his name, first and last name, written out on the paper. And I started like freaking out. I started freaking out in a dream and all of this shit and asking her why, and she wouldn't tell me why, and she had security drag me out of there. That dream freaked me out so bad, I woke up and I was just, like, freaked out. So the relationship is definitely karmic. I hope that since, you know, he's had me have children with him, I've never been pregnant by any other man in my life besides him. So I hope that he can just, like, get away from me and move on and just release me from whatever captive hold that he has on me, because at this point I feel like he's more obsessed with me than he is the children. And that's what bothers me, that you will hurt me. You'll hurt the kids just to hurt me. So at this point, you know, he's like, well, if you aren't going to be in a relationship with me, then I'm moving out of state and I don't care. You raise the kids the best way you can, like that kind of thing. And he knows that that's going to break my heart and infuriate me because I want him to be a part of his children's life, but you aren't going to fucking hold me under your thumb to make me be with you and make me be who you want me to be. That Virgo in him wants to mold me and make me into who he wants me to be. And if I step out of those lines or parameters, it's nothing. So,
wow. That's deep.
Yeah.
And his son is in Leo, right?
Yeah, he's a Leo son.
There's the royalty.
That is crazy.
Yep, he's Leo's son. At the ninth degree, he's a Cancer moon. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. So he's very moody, very attached to family and what he considers family. But, yeah, it's Leo, Cancer, Virgo. I always say He should have just been a Virgo Cancer. The energy just
right.
He should have just been a Virgo Cancer. And he wants to be mothered. He wants to be babied. He constantly wants to be coddled. And, you know, I love so many things about Cancer men, like, you know, them being so into the children and being good homemakers. And he puts furniture and things together with, like, precision, like that Virgo and that Cancer, like, he should have been a craftsman or something, like how well he is, how good he is with his hands. And that Virgo energy makes him very scientific as well, because he's an IT guy. So he's a computer geek and has all these good things, you know, about him. But it's just the dysfunction of it all. I can't, and that karmic energy is too intense for me. I don't want to deal with it anymore. And I can't. And not to mention I'm an Aquarius rising, and let's just face it, I can't fuck with Cancers like that. So not in relationships.
Right? Oh.
So yeah. But yeah. It is what it is. So
I don't think he'll ever release you, because he's like a ghost to you. And you know ghosts, they don't want to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
You guys
so
remember
deep.
That movie, The Grudge, when the girl was
mm-hmm.
hanging on that guy's neck, and he thought he had a crick in his neck, and he kept falling. My sister is like, that's him to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if he died or if something happened to him, he would haunt me. That's how I feel.
Yep, he
that's
sure would.
Right there.
So
mm-hmm.
I hope I die before him. Or either, I don't know. But, yeah, he is, he's karmic for sure. And I just know when I make it to the other side this time, whoever's dick I got to suck to just break the soul tie with him is going to be sucked. Because I don't
she's
ever
right
want to deal with him again in my life. Like, I don't, if I have to come back and be a human, I don't even want to fucking know he existed at all. Like, I wish the butterfly effect was real so that I could go back in time and not go on our first date. Like, I would run so fast, my heels would be hitting my ass. That's how fast I would run to get away from him. Like, I can't believe I did this. Like, I can't believe I did this to myself. So,
see, the way you sound,
that's
the exact way people sound when they come out of a karmic relationship or if they're in one.
Yeah.
So everybody that's listening, the way Apollonia is describing how she feels about it, that's a key indicator that you're in a karmic relationship when it just breaks
yeah.
you down.
It does. It's excruciating. And at this point, I'm like, I'm just going to call his bluff. I'm going to be like, well, fuck it. Hey, move out of state. Fuck it. And he's, you know, he tries
yeah.
to guilt trip me like, oh, you're being selfish. You're putting your needs before the children's. I can't kill myself. I can't kill myself. Being with you is putting a gun to my head. That's the same exact thing in my mind. So I'm just going to say, you know, fuck it. Move out of state. If you don't want to, if you want to miss out on the beauty of your children growing, then you have to deal with that in the seat of your soul, not me.
Why?
So, you know, niggas get the baby mama from heaven and they don't know how to act because I don't bother him at all. Like, I literally don't bother him. And the only thing he wants from me is to be in a relationship with him, and I can't do that. So, yeah, but I guess I'll pass the mic, and that's my karmic union. I hope I don't have another. Please don't send me another, universe. Yeah,
it's crazy because I don't know about you guys, but when doing relationship reading, a lot of people, they want to always know, like, is this person my soulmate? Do we have karmic, you know? They want to know all that stuff. And I always think, like, you know, it's not like it is in the movies, okay? It really isn't. It's like a lot of this stuff is something that you don't – it's difficult to deal with. And it doesn't always end in happily ever after, and you get married to this person and you guys like grow old to be like 100 years old together. Like, it doesn't always end up like that. And people don't understand too that a lot of these points that you'll share in synastry to have a karmic relationship, yeah, a lot of times it's tumultuous, and they're not necessarily somebody that you should be with. It's just an experience that you have, or, you know, yeah, some kind of karmic debt to pay back and then move on, or a lesson, you know, something like that. So I agree with the vertex point 100%, and the south node 100%, the north node. I would say those are the main ones. The Pluto, yes, the Pluto stuff too, definitely karmic. Also, I guess maybe if you guys have eighth house stuff in synastry, I don't know if I would call it karmic. I guess it can be quite tumultuous and very love, hate, and hard to let go. And if you separate from one another, it feels like a part of you has died, and you may still yearn and long for it, even though it's like poison to you and stuff like that. So yeah, if somebody's planets fall in your eighth house, or you guys have like a composite eighth house planets, you know, conjunctions to Pluto can definitely bring that on. But yeah, just real quick before I pick up my kid and have him all nosy in my business, I'll share my experience. So I think I've had a couple of relationships that were karmic, including the one I'm in now, but the most intense one still really pains me to this day, very much so. And the points that we had were his Pluto was conjunct my ascendant, his south node conjunct my ascendant, his north node conjunct my sun, Venus, and Mercury, his moon right on my vertex, and then he had a Leo stellium right conjunct my north node. So there was a lot of points there. And also his south node is conjunct my Lilith, like, to the degree, which now that I've noticed that recently, and when I look back on our relationship, it makes a lot of sense because we did some bad shit. that was our thing, was doing bad shit. Like, I told you guys earlier how I don't really like to drink. I don't like smoking weed. I don't like drugs, anything like that. But with him, I felt so comfortable that we would go out to parties and I would drink and I would get pretty twisted. And our relationship was us kicking it and smoking. And that was the only person I ever felt like, that was what we did automatically. Whenever we would meet up, he would light it up, and we would just chill and be off in a whole other world. And we didn't even really have to speak. And I know that sounds weird, but that's one indicator for me that, like, our relationship was some kind of other level thing to where we didn't really even have to speak a lot of time. So anyhow, yeah, that was a very young relationship. We got together randomly, spontaneously, and it wasn't very long of a relationship, but we always would run into each other throughout the years, and every time we did, it was like we were back in that weird zone of, like, not even being on this planet. Everybody else around us was just gone. It was just us every time I saw him. And so that relationship was very karmic. It was not even like a full-on, serious, committed relationship ever. And there's part of me that always felt like I knew that we couldn't have that for some reason. I knew that we could never really be together like that, but our time together was special for some reason.
Well, I think I may have talked about this relationship on another broadcast before, but he ended up passing away in a car accident like 10 years ago. And I found out like via social media and all kinds of, it was just really bad. And that, his death has hit me the hardest out of, I've had other friends pass away and people die tragically. Now, besides my father, that his death hit me the hardest out of anybody's ever for some reason. And to this day, it still hits me really hard. And he still shows up in my dreams. He still stops by to say hello to me in different unique ways. Usually on his birthday, he does every single year. And what's weird and ironic is also, I had a dream last year. I'm not going to explain the whole entire, it would be a long ass story, but it was when my dad was really sick with cancer and I was taking care of him, and I had a dream, and in the dream I visited this guy's grave, and I hadn't been there in like 9 years. I don't really mess with graveyards and stuff like that anymore. They just freak me out. But I had a dream that I stopped and visited him at his grave, and then I woke up. Well, anyway, a few months later, I just randomly, I was on my way to see my dad in the hospice, and it was, and that cemetery was on the way. So I just drove in there. I'm like, oh, let me just go in. I don't know. I haven't been here a long time. I just feel like maybe I can finally stop here again. So I stopped there, and I was looking for old dude, and then I finally found him, and his mom was at his grave. And I wasn't going to say nothing. I wasn't going to talk to her or anything. I was going to let her have her time, which I did. I waited a while. And then when she started walking away, I went up and talked to her because I remembered that he has Venus in Cancer and he was really close to his mom. And he used to always get upset with me if I didn't say hello to his mom. So I kind of felt like he wanted me to go say hi to his, like, you better go say hi to mom.
Wow.
Like, that's kind of what I felt, you know? So anyhow, moving along, we just moved. We ended up moving, having to move very suddenly. And I didn't pick the house that we lived in. I didn't want to live in that area or nothing. Well, when I finally started looking around, like, to where exactly we were moving to, I discovered that it's right behind the cemetery to where my dude is buried at.
Oh, wow.
And
like
I said, I didn't even pick the place. My husband picked the house. He said, I just feel like this is the right house, energetically, whatever his little cancer told him, that we should move there. And it's right there. Like, literally, I could just drive down the end of the block. It's right there. And, but now I'm like, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing because it's like I'm right by him, but it's like, how do you let go? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you really let go if you're always like still kind of like close to that person in some kind of way, contact with them? It really rips at my heart. So the cold karmic relationship thing, yeah, it's dope in a lot of ways, but it could be very tumultuous if you have, say, for example, like unfinished business, or like you guys had your experiences with karmic relationships that didn't end well, and now you're like, I wish I never would have met them, like. You know what I mean? So they're not always roses and sunshine and cookies and all that shit. They're not always like they're not always like that. And also, one last thing I'll mention is I've already done a lot of past life stuff on my own self, my own past life, and I'm going through a nodal return right now, and a whole bunch of stuff has come flooded back to me in this last year about who I was in a past life, what I did, and so on.
Wow.
I already know that. Like, I was involved in stuff. Like, I called into one of your shows before, Rubina, when you touched on this topic. And we talked about how I had, I was probably involved in, like, some kind of money, illegal money something or another. And that's why in this lifetime I've always worked in finance, and I've worked in the banks, I've been in charge of the safe, and all that stuff in this life. Well, I come to find out, well, my ex, he has a south node in Scorpio and north node in Taurus, and he has always worked in the bank. Like, he always worked in the bank, too.
Wow.
So I'm like, hold up.
Oh,
what
partner in crime.
What did we do together in a past life?
Right. Oh my God! And you're a Scorpio rising. Oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a Scorpio rising Taurus. Yeah. So yeah. So anyway, that's my karmic relationship story. Other than that, yeah, my husband, his moon is conjunct my vertex too, and we have some other things that I think keep us bonded together too. And also another thing I want to say to people is, yes, definitely look at the day that you met somebody. Like, what was going on in their chart? What was going on in yours? Was anybody going through a nodal return or even a reverse one? Were there eclipses?
That's a good one.
Like, yeah, because when I met my husband, he was going through exactly his reverse nodal return. And I've seen that with other people when they give me the dates of when they met somebody and stuff like that. So it is really important to look at the transits as well as the synastry to see what was going on, to open the portal, you know? That's kind of how I think of it. So, anyway, that's my spiel. I got it all out before I pick up my kid. Cool.
That
was
deep.
That
April.
Was a good one,
that was,
April.
That was
wow.
Awesome.
That was.
It really was.
Yeah. And
it
you
really
and
was.
Him
yeah.
still
yeah.
have that connection. Via dreams and all, like, girl, he's probably waiting for you to die, and y'all going to meet on the other side and be like, okay, you want to do this again? Like that movie, What Dreams May Come, you know? That's one of my favorite movies, by the way, if you guys haven't seen that movie.
I never saw that.
With Cuba Gooding Jr. and Robin Williams. And
I heard about that. Okay.
It's a really good movie, and I won't tell the story and ruin it for everybody, but it's based on reincarnation and a couple that obviously were karmically connected. And, it's a really good story. I think you guys should watch it. I always hear the book was 10 times better than the movie, but I've yet to read the book. Definitely check that out if you haven't.
That is something.
Yeah,
that movie is dope.
And I think people confuse twin flames with karmic relationships, even though they can be in conjunction. Like, you can be twin flames with a person and it still be some negative karma associated with it.
Definitely.
It's not going to be, like April said, cookies and roses. It's not going to... And I think, you know, at this point in Earth talk, I think we're kind of all too far descended from what we call the light for any union to be quote-unquote perfect or close to that. It's like you kind of just got to meet your partner in crime and roll with that, because even they're going to piss you off at some point. But,
yeah,
I think the issue comes into play when you can physically feel that somebody blocks your purpose. And that's how I feel with my Pisces North Node and dealing with a man that has a Virgo South Node. I physically feel like they block my purpose. And most of the men that I attract, those ones born in between 77, 78, 79, they all have a lot of Virgo shit going on. I just can't. So is anybody open at the board so we can take some callers?
Yeah.
I
got it pulled up.
Okay, cool. So let's knock out some callers so we can let everybody go on with their evening.
Well, let's see who's been holding on the longest.
Area code 423999. Let me see if I can get my shit working here. All right, I'm going to open up your mic. Let's see. Hi, you're live on the air. Who are we speaking with?
423-99. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Okay, I guess
Hello?
They're just listening, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Okay, we'll put them back on mute. Let's see. Okay, next caller, area code 414-366. Someone open up your mic.
Hello?
Hello. Who are we speaking with?
This is Mika. Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Hi.
You're
doing awesome.
I'm excited because it's my first time getting first.
Really? Welcome, welcome.
So thank you. I have put a comment on in a Facebook group, but it's about me and my husband. We've been together. We've been only married almost a year now. So we've been together 13 years, and it's been ups, downs. The ups have been good. The downs have been terrible. But it seems like we cannot separate. We try, but for some reason, we just keep coming back to each other. And my question was, now, look at our charts. I just started getting into astrology really good this past year. And what got me was Saturn. We have a lot of Saturn in
mm-hmm.
One that was really major was my moon squares his Saturn. And we also have Venus trying Saturn. But both our Saturns fall in the 12th house, and my Pluto falls in his 12th house in Scorpio.
Wow.
So,
okay. Let me see. One second. I'm going to get in front of my computer so I can look at what you're saying here. So I guess my first question to you is, what made you guys tie the knot after 13 years?
Wait, I'm an Aquarius moon, so when you had did the Regina did the podcast about Aquarius experimenting. I was like, well, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 4 years younger than him, and he's coming through his Saturn return, and he lost his mother due to cancer. So basically, his mother was his only family. So I feel like he wanted that family unit. He is a Taurus. And but he has an Aries North Node and a sixth house. So I married him without knowing all this. I'm like, he's supposed to be a hoe. Just go out and live your life. He wants that independence, and he wants to be independent, but he doesn't. He wants that family unit too. Because in our forever relationship, we both have cheated. I'm not gonna put it all on him because I haven't been innocent either. But
and when is his birthday? I'm going to pull his chart.
May 4th of 1987.
And what time?
He is 8:04 p.m.
I'm sorry?
8:04 p.m.
Oh, 8:04. Okay. And what city and state?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee. All right. Now, let me get yours.
September 19th, 1983.
What time?
2:24 p.m. in the
same city state. What city and state?
The same, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay, Milwaukee. All right, let me see what we got here. And my computer would move. All right. All right, it's coming up. I'm going to pair you two together. Oh, I didn't put that in. Now, you are asking what holds you two together after 13 years?
Yeah.
Is that your ultimate question? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm getting to it. I'm sorry. It's taking so long.
It's okay.
And I know Tony can't pull because she's in the closet.
Yeah. I was trying to, and I missed the date.
Oh, no problem. I'm about to see what's going on here. Now, even though I hate this system that I'm using, right away I noticed that his Pluto is conjunct your Saturn. You guys also have, damn it, I hate this screen. I noticed that, let me see who is who that I'm looking at. My apologies.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay, so your North Node in Gemini, and his Chiron and his Mars are conjunct your natal North Node.
Okay.
And your North Node squares your Sun. Now, what I'm looking for... I'm looking for something that's tying you two together. I mean, Pluto conjunct Saturn is strong, but I'm looking for something a little bit deeper than that, and I'm going to have to switch screens because the screen I'm looking at, I can't see it really well. So, give me a second to get it pulled up. But,
Can I just ask that? I just noticed something that can point to where it's like they can't separate. Well, there's a few things.
Oh, you have it pulled
actually.
Up too, Rubina? I'm sorry. That'll
yeah,
be great.
That's all right. Okay, so one of the things I see, your husband's Mars is opposed to your Neptune. And that right there can point to him, like you're a drug to him. He can't let you go. Like, that right there is like... him being trapped, and even if he wants to let go, he just can't because of your Neptune. It's something about you that gives him, like, it's, you're like a place of refuge for him. I'll say that. And then in your own natal chart, like, this is just common for you to be in a situation like this because you got Sun square Neptune, and it's partile.
Yeah.
Partile meaning they're both at the same degree, 26 degrees. And that 26 is a number of partnership. So that could be like you're trapped in a marriage because the Sun could represent your husband. So you're trapped in a marriage that may not necessarily be healthy for you, but you can't see your way out. But he's a big contributing factor because his self nodes in Libra. And so he's not supposed to be married anyway. Like, so you already hit it on the nose when you first said, oh, well, his North Node's in Aries, then he'd be a hoe. And not necessarily a hoe, but he should be fully independent. Like, him being married in this, and that's why it took so long for you guys to get married, because, like, he knew deep down inside he shouldn't be married, but then that South Node in Libra kicked in, and he couldn't resist.
Okay.
Okay. And you know that him being a Leo moon, too, that's an issue because I noticed people with Leo moons, they hate being single, especially the men. I noticed Leo moon women can be a little bit more promiscuous or, you know, they can have multiple suitors to kind of fill that void, but Leo Moon men are rather fixed, so they rather stick to the same chick that they're sleeping with over and over. So that makes sense that he's been coming back to you for 13 years. And even if he was to not be with you, he will pick somebody that he's been with before, which is very common for Leo Moon men. They keep them same little chicks in rotation.
I can see that. I can see that. And his birthday is in April with my Leo, and I have Venus and Mars in Leo. So, and his moon is in my April. So I don't know if it's traumatic, but it's been a ride. I'll say that. I don't know. It just, I mean, it seemed like we, when the bads are, when we have bad times, they bad. And it's like, if one with me personally, it's one foot out the door, but then I just come back. And it could be, I can say with my Juno and Taurus, I want stability. That's what I want. And especially for my kids, I feel like I need stability. And I think that's a big thing for me. Even if we do have our mishaps, and it's really been with fidelity. Infidelity. If we have that, it's just that as long as the kids don't know, and I know that sounds messed up, but as long as the kids don't know, as long as they have a stable household to come to, because I didn't have that. I don't believe in step family, because I've been through a lot with my step family and a lot of stuff I really don't want to get into, but I just don't want my kids to have to spend that time, that, you know, they talk to them like I did, even though they might not, but I just, it's like a blockage for me to, like, leave and, I guess, find someone new. And if I do leave, I don't want to be with nobody else. I just want to be alone until my kids are grown and of age.
So you guys have only been married a year, and you're already feeling like, I mean, are you regretting your decision? Did you guys just jump the broom just because?
No, I don't regret it. I'm a Virgo, so I worry a lot. And I'm always looking at the cup as half empty, not half full. So my thing is, since we've been through so much for our 13 years, what's going to make you change? Because you did all the stuff back then. What finally put a dent in your head to make you change? And looking at his natal chart, I really don't think he's going to change. I feel like in my heart, it's only a matter of time before some BS comes up. It hasn't now. It hasn't, period, right now. But it's just me being pessimistic, I guess. And being a worry wart.
Well, ladies, we only have 2 minutes left. I hate to interrupt you guys. We have 2 minutes left. No, you're fine. I just want to, you know, make sure that everybody knows that I don't want anybody to get cut off.
Can go ahead and close out, because it just said 90 seconds and I don't want us to get cut off. So if time permits, we'll do a part two of this show, unless you know, we beat it like a dead horse, you know, we can move on to something else. But thank you guys for listening and coming out and all that stuff. Shout out to the replay listeners, and also we will attempt to do our live stream again at some point. We'll get that together for you guys, and I really appreciate you listening, and peace out, everybody. If you guys want to name drop real quick your sites or info, you can.
Okay, Ravina Rasabon, Ravina.com, that's my website. Peace, everybody. Peace and many blessings.
TheAstrologyLady.com, Apollonia Smith on Facebook.
And then all of mine are under Cosmic Homegirl, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all of that.
All right, and I'm Tony Barber. I'm actually under Antoinette Barber on Facebook. Hit me up in either the Real Talk Astrology group or send me an instant message, and we can connect from there. You're down to 2 seconds. I love you guys.
All right. Bye. Awesome show. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.